Well, tonight I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn back to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And so many things capture my attention and my mind and my heart and my imagination when I come to the Word of God. Looking this morning at Genesis 20 and still really feeling the weight of that amazing truth that's relayed to us there. Looking at Wednesday night a few weeks ago as we're going through the book of Nahum and just seeing God revealed to us there in that amazing book. And then coming now to 1 Peter, and really we're still in verse 2. I don't know how many weeks we've looked in this, but just getting a little bit here and there, just a few phrases just for us to think about. And tonight, just one or two phrases tonight that will really set our attention rightly where it needs to be as we come to the Lord's table tonight. To remember the Lord in the way that He has sovereignly appointed the Lord's table. I'll read in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. I want you to think on three words tonight as we go through just this last phrase here of verse 2. For the obedience to Jesus Christ, for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. I want you to think of the word purpose. I want you to think of the word person. And then I want you to think of the word product. Those are the three words that will help sort of arrange our thoughts to help explain a little bit about this last phrase. What I find of particular interest is for sprinkling with His blood. I think that's very important for us tonight to think about and to understand as we come to the Lord's table. We're talking here first about the word purpose. And you remember what's going on here, what Peter is describing, what he's talking about. He's talking to what we said elect rejects, rejected by the world, but elected by God the Father, chosen by an act of sovereign grace. Though the world would turn their backs on these persecuted believers, he said, though the world may turn their backs on you, I want you to understand that God has, by a choice of His divine choice in eternity past, chosen to establish a relationship with you. And that relationship that God has chosen is not on the basis of something we have done. You see, mercy is not doled out according to just deserts. Mercy is not granted on the basis of whether or not somebody deserves it or not. Grace is not granted on the basis of whether or not you deserve it. Mercy and grace is given as a free gift of God. And He says, you are elect. You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. This is the purpose. God is explaining through the Apostle Peter His purpose in deciding to bring a people, to make a people for Himself. And that purpose, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. In other words, back in before the foundation of the world in eternity past, God determined to have a relationship with you. But then not only did God the Father decide, not only did God the Father elect, but then it says, in the sanctification of the Spirit. God brings it into time. And this is a reference to being set apart by the Spirit of God. You see, the great truth is that before the foundation of the world, for every believer, God elected them, God chose them, God foreknew them, God decided to have a relationship with them. He determined in His mind that He would have a relationship with us. And then He brought it into the present time by applying that through the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit in the sanctification, the setting apart of the Spirit. And we talked about that a few weeks ago as that moment when we heard the truth. This idea of being born again, according to John chapter 3, or Peter would talk later in 1 Peter chapter 2 regarding being born again by the Word of God. The Spirit enables us to hear the truth. God sets us apart by the Spirit. Now, my friends, the work of salvation, the purpose of God is determined not only by the Father in electing, and not only by the Spirit in setting apart, but now by the Son in purchasing. The Father chose, the Son set apart, or the Spirit set apart, and the Son purchased or redeemed those that were set apart, redeemed those who were elected by His work on the cross. And that's when we get into the second word that I want us to think about tonight, the person. This person is Jesus Christ, the God-man. In sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ. We want to focus tonight on a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he uses this phrase here, for the obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood, I think we're to consider those two things together. It is a reference to what we would call a reference to the entrance into a new covenant relationship. This is speaking of an entrance into a new covenant relationship. And that is particularly communicated by these two phrases, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood. I'd say that because of the history of these phrases. Look with me back to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, and this is the old covenant. And here are God's people entering into or confirming God's covenant before Moses. And you see what happens here in Exodus chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse 3. The Bible says that Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half, listen to this, he took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, we'll obey. All that the Lord has spoken we will do, we will be obedient. And then Moses took the blood and threw it or sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. This proclamation of obedience and this sprinkling of the blood in this case was an entrance into a covenant relationship with God. In this case, the old covenant. But if you go ahead into the New Testament and turn just very quickly to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And I'll just point this out to you. Verse 22, 23, and 24. It's a different mountain we're coming to. Mount Sinai back in Exodus chapter 24. And now he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus. And what is Jesus? Who is this person? The mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You see, what, When Peter says, you have been sanctified, set apart by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling of His blood. That's covenantal relationship terminology. You've entered into a covenant. You've entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant. And you can't speak of having this relationship apart from, one, on your part, obeying Jesus, and two, on God's part, Him sprinkling you with the blood of Jesus, that is, giving you purification of your sins. Because you don't enter into a covenant relationship without a willing obedience, and you do not enter into a covenant relationship without the shedding of blood. Hebrews chapter 9. We read all of that. And so what he is saying, he is encouraging these people with the two sides of the new covenant. One, salvation, the sprinkling of the blood. The sacrifice has been paid. You're taking part in the sacrifice. In this case, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the person, the Son of God who shed His blood for me, who suffered that I might not have to suffer. The two sides of the new covenant, salvation and obedience. You can't say you're a member of the new covenant if you don't obey Jesus. And you can't say that you're a member of the new covenant if you refuse to trust Him, to rely on Him for your eternal salvation, for the forgiveness of your sin. And He's just telling these people, He's just telling them once again, you've been rejected by the world, you're persecuted by the world, you're turned away by the world, but God loves you. And He has established a relationship with you all through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's purpose identified through the past work of God the Father and the present work of God the Spirit and the present work of God the Son. And there is the person, the work of Jesus Christ Himself. To these elect rejects, He says, I want you to remember that you are in relationship with God. And what would be better for us to remember tonight as we come to the Lord's table? To remember that we have been set apart to obey Jesus. Our entire life is about obeying Jesus and understanding that even in the midst of a still present sin, our still residing sin, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, remains for us the propitiation for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of any who would believe. This is the person of Jesus Christ. Well, he goes on back in 1 Peter chapter 1. And he refers to this amazing word. He says, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with His blood, for being identified with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You say, this doesn't sound nice. We don't like to talk about sprinkling with the blood. This is an identification. In other words, we're saying, you know what? When I trust Jesus, His blood for mine, His life for my life, His righteousness as my righteousness, my sin becomes His sin. And that's tonight as we take the cup of communion. We know that cup, that juice in the cup doesn't save us. That juice represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we drink together tonight, we say we are identifying our only hope is Jesus and Jesus alone. But I want you to notice, sir, we talked about purpose and person. I want you to notice, thirdly, the product. What is the product? What's produced? He says, as he wishes this normal Christian greeting, but notice how he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peter is coming to these people who have no hope in this world. And he is saying to them, may it be, he's praying for them for the incredible, increasing enjoyment of all that God has to offer. This incredible and increasing enjoyment of all that God has to offer. What is produced here by this person, because of this purpose? What is produced first? Grace. Grace, and you heard this before, right? Understand grace. I love the acronym. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is the free and full favor of God for people who don't deserve it. Grace is the sanctifying, is the saving power of God that could forgive you of your sin. But not only that he can forgive you of your sin, but is the sanctifying power of God to make you more like himself. That's what he's saying. Because of Jesus Christ, who's come in line with the purpose of God, may you know this product. May you know the in ever abounding quantities, that awesome, powerful grace of God that has saved you and that is sanctifying you, that's making you more like Christ. Not only the grace that saved you, it's the grace that elected you. Not only the grace that sanctifies you, it's the grace that enables you to live for him. This is the necessity of the Christian life. We've heard the saying before, there but by the grace of God go I. But if you know grace, then you'll know peace. Grace facilitates peace. And I think it's interesting that he doesn't just say, he's rather vague about this word peace. Sometimes in the scriptures we talk about the peace of God. Sometimes we talk about peace with God. But it's just vague. And so I think it opens up a whole amount for us to understand and to see. Peace with God. Because we know that before, in our sin, we're not friends with God. We're enemies. We're not together. We're fighting God. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because his blood was applied to us, because he died for us, we who were once at war with God, in our sin, we who were once at enmity with God and facing his wrath every day, now can have peace with God. No longer being called his enemy, but being called his friend. And when you have peace with God, then you can know the peace of God. And you see, this hits right down to the very point of why Peter is writing. Peter is a man who knows what it is to be persecuted. Peter is a man who knows what it is to suffer. And he sees these dear people, the ones that he loves, going through the exact same things that he had experienced and would experience even yet greater. And he wants them to know the one thing that will grant them the only thing that will help them in this life. He wants them to know peace. In an age, in a world that's nothing but war, in an age, in a world that's nothing but confusion and chaos and change, he says, may peace be multiplied to you. And that peace is the product of grace that comes from a person rooted in a purpose founded before the foundation of the world. That's glorious. Say, here's a question for you tonight. Are you sprinkled with the blood of Jesus? You see, here's a real point of contention. Some of us want to say, oh, I've been saved. I've been forgiven. But let's not talk at all about obeying Jesus. We like to try to put that line there. I want to be saved, but I don't want to obey. You were sanctified for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of his blood. It's all in one. You can't separate these two. Say, I don't have a very peace-filled life right now. My life is in chaos. My life is in shambles because you don't know grace, because you've never met that person. So tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, we think of this. You know, I've My life is summed up in this phrase, obeying Jesus sprinkled by his blood. And thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ cancels and covers all my sin. Like we said this morning, how quickly we are prone to wander, aren't we? How quickly we're prone to just fly away. Praise the Lord that the blood of Jesus Christ remains the propitiation for our sin. Tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, we remember Christ in the way that he's appointed. We remember what it is to be forgiven. We remember what it is to follow Christ. We remember what it is to know his grace and to experience his peace. See, it's so interesting that Peter would begin his letter this way to people who are suffering, people who are persecuted, people who are in need. And listen, as we come to this tonight, we look at what God has done for us and we understand not only do we give him all praise in terms of our words and our thanksgiving, but we give him all praise in terms of our lives, don't we? We practice open communion. That means you don't have to be a member of